I'm so privileged today that I'm here to speak to you on the subject God wants to heal. God wants to heal. Amen. I pray that you believe today that God wants to heal you. I've always known that God wants to heal. I've experienced glimpses of the fact that God heals. But in the last 3 years, right in this church, right in our services on Zoom, I've seen God does things that sometimes I think, God, forgive my unbelief. Because unbelief is the highest form of disrespect to our God. And I say, God, I'm sorry that I haven't respected you. I haven't trusted you. And I did not believe you. I only knew in my head that you healed. But my eyes have seen what you do, even today. So today I want to say, God wants to heal. Amen. Amen. And if you are sick today, I want you to know that God wants to heal you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's someone on your heart that you want healing, believe that God wants to heal. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. So today I want to take you through scripture. But first I want to remind ourselves that throughout the Bible, we can see that the will of God has always been to heal his people. Hear it. The will of God throughout the Bible has been to heal his people. So if you're a child of God today, then I want you to understand that the will of God is to heal you. Amen? Amen. That is the way God works. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, but yet many of God's children sometimes get sick and think that it is the will of God to make them sick. I've heard that many times. Oh, God has put this sickness on me. The question is, what have you done that God has put sickness on you? What sin did you commit? What evil have you done to God that he cannot forgive you but to put sickness on you? Actually, God, his will is to forgive you and to heal you. Amen? Amen. That is God's will. So never say that God has allowed some sickness to come upon you to teach me a lesson. He won't teach you no lesson. There's no need for him to do that. He can withhold the breath that is in you and you'll be no more. So why would he want to see you walking about sick as a child of God? The truth is far from what people think. The common reason some don't get healed is lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge prevents the people of God from getting healed. You see, no one can claim something they don't know that it belongs to them. Are you getting it? You cannot claim something that you don't know that it belongs to you. If you know that sick, if you know that healing belongs to you and it's the will of God for you to get healed, then you take it. Amen? Amen. But if you don't know, then you walk and you carry your sickness. It's not the will of God for you to carry sicknesses about. Indeed, it's not the will of, any doctor or any nurse to see you sick. That is why they want you to be healed. Do you get that? You see, there's no interest or joy in a nurse or a doctor to find you sick and do nothing about it. They want to do something about it if you approach them, yes or no? So if you approach our God, then it is his nature to heal. For that reason, it is in his interest to see you healed. Is that logic enough? But I'm not here to talk logic. So let's look into the word of God and see what God says. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is when the people of God have moved from bondage into freedom. They've crossed the Red Sea. And if you're a child of God, have you moved from bondage into freedom? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you invited the Holy Spirit to live in your heart? Have you aligned your will and your priorities to God, if you have and you confess him as your Lord, then this message today is for you. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, and God said, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment and keep all his statute, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So, anything that holds you in bondage, in this sense, the people were in bondage. So, God, if he were to bring some punishment or so, he would bring it upon those people or those spirits or those authorities and dominions that hold you in bondage. You get that? For I am the Lord that heals you. I'll put none of those sicknesses upon you. For I am the Lord who heals you. You see that it is a present continuous then tense. I am the Lord who heals you. Not who healeth you, right? Or who healed you. I'm the Lord who heals you. But you can say, I'm the Lord who healed you once, and he'll heal you again. And today, God is ready to heal you. So what is healing then? This is my definition. So please, you won't find it in any book, but if you prefer, write it down. You see, healing is an intervention that will give you relief and or complete freedom from diseases, illnesses, sicknesses, and all forms of ailment. I'll repeat that in case you want to write it. Healing is an intervention. It's an intervention that will give you relief and or complete freedom from diseases, illnesses, sicknesses, and all forms of ailments. The doctors and medical professionals, we call them physicians in the Bible, usually do that. And our God does so supernaturally. Amen? Amen. Our God heals supernaturally. So I want you to know that physicians can heal you. It's their job. And our God heals. And he does so not with instruments that eyes can hold, but he heals supernaturally. And we have to make ourselves available. It is the nature of our God to heal the people. That is what he said. That is why he said, I am the Lord who heals you. That is his nature. That's the way he is. So let us behold this. It is his nature that he will heal people. Let's see from Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. I've started from the Old Testament. I'll come to the New Testament in case you struggle with that. He says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sicknesses away from the midst of you. I will take sicknesses away from the midst of you. He was talking to his people, God's people. So if you're here listening to me, if you're out there listening to me, and if you open your heart to God, then this is what he says. Then you shall serve the Lord your God. And he will bless your bread. That means even what you eat, he will make a provision for you. He will bless your water. He will make sure he will sustain you. And he will take sicknesses away from the midst of you. Sicknesses away from the midst of you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've come to understand in these 2 years that the world has been quite difficult. God has taken sicknesses away from us. Some have had a virus in some stages or varying stages, and yet God has taken the sicknesses away from them. Some of you have had your loved ones at the point of literally dying, and God has taken sicknesses away from your midst. You are witnesses to this because he's the God who heals. You see, the psalmist also knew this so well that he tells us more of what God does. So let's pick up a few verses in the Psalms, and then you journey with me. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. My readings are mainly from the New King James Version of the Bible. In a few instances, I may bring other translations. But it's the same because it helps just clarify things for you and me. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now see the benefit that he is talking about. Who forgives all your iniquities? First benefit. Who heals all your diseases? Second benefit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Third benefit. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a command. My soul should bless the Lord. Today, let your soul bless the Lord. Let your soul magnify the Lord. Lift God higher and higher. And if you do, forget not his benefit, that he forgives you your sins. So if God has forgiven your sins, he saved you, and even you continue to commit sins, and like we all sometimes do, and we go to God, he forgives us our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. So if he's forgiven you your sins, why would you think God will put sicknesses on you because you've done something wrong? But first he said, I forgive you all your sins, and then I heal all your diseases. I redeem your life from destruction. That is where, the enemy wants to mess you up. Mental illness and some mental and some oppressions and some sort of difficult thing that will mess you up. God redeems you. That means he brings you back from that state. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. God wants to bring peace to you. God wants to show you his love. He wants you to know that he loves you, he cares about you, and he doesn't want you to fall apart. That is what God is saying. And he will satisfy your mouth. That means our God will make sure that good things come from you. He will make sure that you are fed every day. He will make sure that you will never go without. That is what God is saying. And he will renew you like a young person. Like the eagles. Let's pick another psalm. Psalm 147 verse 3. It says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So if you look, journey with me, you see what God is doing here. Some healing is not a kind of a physical healing, but brokenheartedness. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up your wounds. The things that hurt you. Sometimes you're so broken. You're so hurt. You don't know what to do. Sometimes you're so offended. You don't know what to do. And your hearts need healing. Our hearts need healing. My hearts need healing. Your hearts need healing. And that is what God does. But let's look at the Passion Translation. These are modern translation, right? So in case, you haven't read it before, there's a translation called the Passion Translation. TPT. It said, he heals the wounds of every shattered heart. Sometimes your heart is shattered as a result of something. Your heart is shattered as a result of a loss of something. Your heart is shattered as a result of something that hasn't worked for you. But he said he literally heals the wounds of every shattered heart. Not some, every shattered heart. We're talking about the children of God. You see, so everything that is in there, that is bruising your heart, that has caused so much wound, because wound is something that you don't see superficially, but you only have to touch it. You only have to say something. You only have to do something. And it comes out so raw because it's underneath and it hurts so much. And he heals the wounds of every shattered heart. Amen. I like the prophets too. If I'm talking about the psalmist, and if I'm talking about Moses and God's people, I need to talk about the prophet, because all has to do with the people of God and the healing power of God. The prophet spoke of Jesus Christ as the healer long before he was born, to tell us that what he did on the cross was a divine exchange. He took upon himself what we should have experienced so that we don't have to bear the consequences of that anymore. That's what we talk about, divine exchange. I mean, something that we should have borne the consequence of, but then our God, He heals you. He took it upon Himself. Jesus Christ took it upon Himself so that you would not have to go through it again. That is what we mean by divine exchange. Somebody bearing the issue, the problem, the things that bothers you, the things that you should have gone through, the things that you should have borne, probably sometimes as a result of our mistakes, our omissions, our error, and our iniquities, He bore them on the cross so that you don't have to bear it anymore. You might have done the worst things in the world, but He says, I bore it on the cross. I took it upon myself. And Jesus Christ is divine. And therefore, He has changed your weaknesses for the strength that He's got. Hallelujah. So as a result of our whole salvation, we have to know and understand that it also includes we being healed. Amen? Our salvation includes the fact that we need to be healed, we ought to be healed, and we shall be healed. Amen? Let's go back to the Bible again. Isaiah 53 verse 3 to 5. So that we can be sure that we are speaking the word of God. It says, He, meaning Jesus Christ, they were describing somebody 700 years before He was born. This is how insightful, I mean, the prophet was. Of course, God gave him that message. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. We walk away from Him. Because we despise Him. We do that. And He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. See, one verse, and they've mentioned the word despised twice. Each time a statement is made and repeated in a short space of time, it means that this is important. Take note. Right. He was despised. Maybe somebody has walked out of your life. Maybe somebody look at you and think, nah, you're not educated. I mean, you're not like me. You don't live in the same place. You don't do X, Y, Z. And you feel so small and so lonely. You're despised. And when they brand you in that category, people walk away from you. They say, oh, that person, oh, that person. But Jesus says, you know what? I took it upon myself. So the pain that you are going through, when people turn away from you, the pain that you're going through, he said, I was there and I will take it upon myself so that you will not carry it anymore. Part of our healing. Move on from me, brother. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So this flows from the despised. You see, when people are despised, they grieve. And they become sorrowful. So sometimes you think, oh God, I'm just discriminating against that person. I'm just overlooking that person. I'm just going to talk down on him or her. And that is okay. You grieve the soul. And you make that person sorrowful. That means you are killing the person inside. Amen? Yet we esteem him stricken. I mean, Jesus Christ literally taking it upon himself. Sometimes we don't get it that he actually did that. Smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he was bruised. For our iniquities. He took the stripe and the lashes because of our sins. Because when you do something wrong, sometimes you need some punishment. And at that time, the punishment was to give lashes. And he took it in our place. And as he took it in our place, we are forgiven. And then we have the peace with God. Then we begin to live in peace in relationship with God. He took it upon himself. So through the stripe that Jesus Christ took, we receive our healing. So Jesus Christ has borne our pain, our sicknesses, and our diseases so that we will be free. Hallelujah. That is what the scripture is telling us. So that means our God wants to heal you. Our God is a healer, and our Jesus Christ is a healer. By his stripes you are healed. See, sometimes it is easy for you to say these things, but you got to begin to appropriate it to yourself that this is actually real. Do you get that? You see, if you only talk about it and you cannot take it for yourself, you cannot appropriate it to yourself and see that in your life, then it is only words. But we are talking scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Words that came from the mouth of God. Ancient words, holy words, handed down to us over the generations. These words carries power. The power to heal. So we see even from these few Bible verses that I've actually brought to you, that our salvation is holistic. That means it's complete, it's all encompassing. And healing is right at the heart of our salvation. So if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're a Christ follower, or you've come from Egypt symbolically, if God has saved you from your past life and has brought you into a newness of life, then your salvation includes healing. So if you are saying you are saved and you cannot trust God to heal you, there's a problem there. That's unbelief. One of the greatest disrespect that we will give to God. We say, God, we don't believe you. We don't trust you. Just like you going to the hospital and the doctor prescribes some medication for you and you take your prescription. You went closer to G Farm. It's just around the corner. I mean, there's a chemist somewhere. And then you go and then you look at it and say, I don't believe this. You keep it. And then you walk away. Did the doctor not prescribe it for you? How do you expect to be healed? When they've given you a prescription and you don't even believe in that prescription. So why did you go and see him? You've wasted this time, isn't it? So I'm trying to bring these analogies to you, and I just want to take my time to take you through this so that you can begin to reason. Hallelujah. Amen. So our salvation is complete, and therefore healing is a part of it. So if you are being saved, and you are saved, and you don't believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ, there's a problem. Then don't expect any supernatural touch from God. Jesus came to heal those who are sick. There are so many references in the New Testament, in the Gospels in particular, to remind us that Jesus is a healer. And want to heal our diseases, want to heal our sicknesses, want to heal all forms of ailments. Let's take a few and see what it says in Matthew 4, verse 23 to 24. This is what it says. And Jesus went about all Galilee, wherever he was, his base, where he lived, those areas, that borough, and beyond. That city and beyond, that county and beyond, that be northeastern part of Israel. And he was teaching in their synagogues. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went through all Syria. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Amen. You see, so let's open it up a little bit. We have a little bit more time. This is what he's saying. That Jesus went about in Galilee. He was teaching, number one. He was preaching, number two. He was healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, number three. And then it goes on, he said, that, and then whatever peoples, they brought to him all sick people. Meaning, whatever their ailments and pain, That's Amplified Version translation. He also healed those who were afflicted, troubled. Sometimes things trouble us. Sometimes you can't sleep. Sometimes you're worried. Sometimes things happen to you. And it's like you're afraid. You are restless, breathless sometimes. You are being afflicted. There's something on your mind that you're thinking about all the time that causes you not to sleep and not to be rested. Afflicted with various diseases. That's number four. Affliction and torment. Torment is a mental thing. Something torments your mind. I'm not medical, so I cannot explain that. But I can only tell you from scripture and from experience how torment works. Or what causes torment is a demonic activity that haunts you, that messes you up. It messes your mind system. It holds you captive. It gets you not to do things right, not to think right. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, God wants to bring that captive to obey Christ. Amen. And those who were demon possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. This is scripture, not me saying it. So you can see that the ministry of Jesus Christ involves five different kind of things. But then we preach the gospel, we teach people. Are we healing people? Are we healing all those who are afflicted and tormented with various kind of diseases? Are we casting out demons or people setting free those who are demon possessed? This bit we've missed. And today, salvation has come upon you. Amen. Amen. See, when Jesus Christ picked the scripture and he quoted Isaiah chapter 61, Pastor Aaron was quoting it this morning. I mean, he quoted it and he repeated that. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. So when Jesus Christ was referring to that, and by the time you get to verse 20, he said, but today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst. Amen. And the people were so happy and they were clapping him. They said, isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that the guy who was walking the street? Look at how gracious word he's saying that today, what they were happy about is that healing has come to them. Demons will be set free. People who are oppressed and afflicted will be set free. So they were so happy. But when he went on from verse 20 to 21 to challenge them that the problem with you is unbelief. Because you don't believe. And he started the prophet. Were they not sick people? Were they not hungry people? And the prophet was sent to go into the house of a Syrophoenician woman, somebody who was not even from the kingdom of Israel or who was not one of the people of Israel. He said, look, because of your unbelief, the prophet was sent to the unbeliever, people who didn't even have God with them, to go and minister to them. He said, because of your unbelief, you did not get healing. And Naaman, who was not even a child of God, was able to receive his healing because he believed. Isn't it? When he wasn't believing, he wasn't receiving no healing. When he believed, he received healing. So the question is, are you going to believe to receive that? Amen? You see, so in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, it said that, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So we can see that our Jesus heals. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today Jesus Christ can heal you? Do you believe that he will heal you today? Do you believe that this message is for you to be healed? I can only tell you scripture. And I can tell you from experience that God does that. Hear me. I'm not saying that don't go to hospital. I'm not saying that doctors can't heal. They do. Hospital exists to help you. But not every disease and every sickness can be done And of course, doctors can't heal you supernaturally. That's why sometimes we need supernatural healing. And if what I'm talking about, I'm speaking about, I'm telling you scripture, and you're not believing, you are in a real problem. So we talk about Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. So when evening had come, they brought to him, meaning Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word. He cast out the spirit with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Did we not just read it? He said that what the prophet said about Jesus Christ has to be fulfilled, that he will bear our sicknesses and he will heal our infirmities. And he was healing. He used his word and he was healing. He spoke the word of God and he was healing. And they brought to him people who were demon possessed. So, I mean, you tell me that he can take someone who is demon possessed for medical treatment. No instrument can detect a demon. You understand that? In case you don't know, I want to challenge you to think. No demon can, no instrument can detect that. So certain sicknesses are not medical. Certain sicknesses or illnesses and diseases are spiritual. And sometimes we have to begin to open our hearts to our God, that we will get a medical when it helps us, and we'll get a supernatural and it will help us. You can't go wrong, will you? Hello? Let me give you one example from what I'm saying. It will help us indeed. The woman with an issue of blood or flow of blood. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to drill down too much, but I want to open scripture to you so that you can read it and know that this is from the Bible. It said, now a certain woman, her name was not mentioned, had a flow of blood or issue of blood in some translation for 12 years. That the woman was hemorrhaging for 12 years. You see, and things like this, you lose control over it. It can disgrace you in public. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. Move on. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only. She took the initiative. Go back. Go forward. Sorry. Move on. Immediately the fountain, hear the word, the fountain of her blood was dried up. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So that was an affliction, something that bothers you, that keeps on happening, and you have no solution, and you lose sleep, you lose dignity, and it continues to mess you up. And Jesus turned immediately. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, say power. Power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Power went out of Jesus Christ to heal an incurable disease, to heal a situation that could not, for 12 years, couldn't be resolved. We're so privileged to have NHS. Please use it. But probably she didn't. And she had to buy the service like many countries do. And she's exhausted all her money. But his disciples said to him, Master, you see the multitude thronging you. And you say, who touched me? Everybody is crowding over you. And he said, who touched me? Move on. And he looked around to see her who had done this or who had touched him. But the woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what had happened to her, knowing that she's been healed, came and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole story. That means the story that we've just read, he told him that, look, for 12 years, this is my shame. I've been living with it. The fountain drains. When there's a fountain, it doesn't stop, is it? Move on. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. So here we can see that many physicians have tried. The situation was not cured. But she said, if only I may touch his clothes, his garment, I shall be made well. She made that decision. So immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. The root cause of the issue, the source of the issue, the problem that she's had for several years, it cannot be shifted. It shifted at that moment when she said, if only I can touch his garment. So today, if only I can touch his garment. If only you can touch his garment. If only you can stretch to him and say, God, I've been in this situation for this long. I need a miracle. Hallelujah. I need a miracle. And I hope you do. If you're watching me online, you need a miracle. You need a miracle in your situation. You need a miracle because Jesus Christ is a miracle worker. He's a way maker. He will make a way for you. He will make sure the fountain of your blood will be dried up immediately. Even though it looks impossible. But Jesus is boundless. He is boundless. He is limitless. And he will do it for you. I believe in this Jesus. We have believed in this Jesus. We have seen his power. It's in the Bible. We need a supernatural touch to receive our healing. I need a supernatural touch to receive my healing. Do you need a supernatural touch to receive your healing? The woman had the courage and acted on her faith. She believed, if only I can stretch forth my hand and touch his garment. Do you have that faith? Do you have that belief that if only, you can also stretch out your hand and touch his garment? Effectively, the woman placed a demand on the power that was in Jesus Christ for healing. Because what did Jesus say? Power has gone out of me. Power got that woman healed. So power of God is here today to heal you. We cannot heal you, but the power of God will heal. So it's the power that got the woman healed. So today, will you place a demand on that power? Because that woman actually placed a demand. She saw the power. People were walking around him. People were trudging him. People were crowding around him. But no one saw the power until that woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, who was afflicted, who had a problem, and said, God, I have a problem. I saw and I see this power. If only I can touch your garment, I'll be made whole. And she touched his garment, and the power flew out of Jesus Christ and touched him. Jesus said, who touched me? We say, hang on a minute. Everybody's touching you. They missed the point. She needed power. So the supernatural power of God brings healing. So each time you are healed supernaturally, it's not something that you can reason it out. It's something that comes with the power of God. Have you got that? Some people think, oh yeah, Jesus Christ did that. We all read the scripture and think, oh, Jesus did that. And we forget that we are Jesus' people. We forget that we are God's people. God wants to heal us. Disciples of Jesus Christ will do what he does. And will do what he did. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit also releases upon the disciples of Jesus the supernatural ability to heal people. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Has the Holy Spirit been poured out in you? Has there been Pentecost? Have you read about it? Has the Spirit of God touched you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is the Spirit of God filled you in this church? Wherever, have you experienced God? Did you experience God in this time of worship? than these people did. I don't know about the people here. Oh, yes, they did too. So they also did. So if we experience God this way, then this is what we say. The Holy Spirit will release upon you, the disciples of Jesus Christ, supernatural ability to heal people. This ability to heal did not end with the apostles, but is here today. Amen. I've heard many times some people say, it ended with the apostles. Show me in the Bible where it says that. No one can show me. It's not there. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's move on. Because sometimes you see, if I don't provoke you to get things, then you stick with those, knowledge, which is not right. And the enemy deceives us and robs us of our healing and robs us of our blessings. So I am saying that God is able to heal us even during our time, we being the disciples of Jesus Christ. So are you a disciple? We are discipling you in this church, aren't we? So that ability did not end with the disciples. Now let me read something from the Living Bible. Right? Please give me time to finish it because next week I'm not going to preach on this subject. Right. John chapter 7, verse 56, 57. I'm reading from the Living Bible, TLB. To tell you in the scriptures. But let me read from the New King James Version first. Verse 56, John chapter 6, verse 56 to 57. It says this, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him." Move on from me. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Hallelujah. Now, the Living Bible brings the translation or makes it a little bit clearer for us. It says, "Everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is in me, and I in him. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me. And in the same way, those who partake of me shall live because of me." So that means anyone who lives in Jesus Christ, anyone who opens his heart or her heart to be closer to God, anyone who wants the life of Christ to flow through him or her, anyone who allowed the Holy Spirit to flow through him or her, or who want to be united with God. Because that means if you are with Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that flows through Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that is upon you. The same God of Jesus Christ, who sent Jesus Christ, is also sending you. So the same Spirit said, "In this I live by the power of the living Father who sent me, and in the same way those who partake of me shall live because of me." At that time, he was telling them, and that's what we call communion, whatever it is. I just want you to know that Jesus Christ is saying that even us, you and me, take the bread and the wine, we are saying we are partaking of his nature. We are partaking of him. That means the same power that is in him, the same power, because he lived by that. So we ought to be living by the same power that was in him. Hallelujah. You see, anyone who feeds on Jesus, that's another way to put it. Anyone who feeds on Jesus will have the same power that sent Jesus Christ to heal people. Amen. If you feed on Jesus, if you feed on Jesus, if your mind is stayed on him, if you're taking his word seriously, if you are praying, and if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, then you have the same power to do the things that he did. Amen. At that point, many left Jesus Christ because they get offended. So who can eat his flesh and who can drink his blood? He was telling them something deeper. And he turned around to his, if you read on, you see, he turned around to the disciples and asked them, "Will you also go?" Because it says clearly, at that time, many people turned their back on him. He was telling them about supernatural things. He was telling them about the power of God. He was telling them about the healing nature of God. He was telling them about the transforming nature of God, transforming power of God. But they couldn't take it. People were offended. I'm saying today, don't let offense, don't let doubt and unbelief, because many didn't believe him, prevent you from getting healed today. It is the will of God to heal you. For we read earlier on, I am the Lord that heals you. In case you've forgotten, I was just wondering whether Pastor Irene saw my notes, but I don't think she did. But, she quoted Mark chapter 16, and I'll bring you only two verses. She starts from 15 to 20 to put it in context. But I'll just test two out of those verses, and I'll read it to you. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. So this is what it says. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Are you a believer? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? In the name, you cast out demons. How will you do that? By the same power that was in Jesus Christ. So you can see that healing was not only Jesus Christ's time, it is our time too. And it is now. Do you get that? It is now. And therefore today, like the woman who had an issue of blood, stretched forth and said, if only I can touch him. I want my healing now. I want to be healed now, because Jesus heals today too. And he will heal you. Amen. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If your Bible says snakes, cancel it. Snake is a pet. Serpent is a devil. You take hold of the devil. And if you drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt you. Doesn't mean to go and drink poison, right? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, or they will be healed. So let me give you 4 points that I want you to write it down, how to receive your healing, and then we're going to pray right now. In the name of Jesus. How to receive your healing. How do we do that? To receive your healing, you have to cooperate with God and with the Holy Spirit. The most common method used by the Holy Spirit to heal us is the Word of God. So number one, how do you receive your healing? Believe the Word of God. Our well-being depends on keeping the Word of God in our hearts, practicing it, that means action on it, and confessing on it, and believing in it, obeying it. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, this is what he reads. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So that means the word of God should be in your heart, in your mouth, and do it. Number two, confess God's word. Because it is in it that we find power. You got to know that I am the Lord that heals you. So if you confess that Jesus Christ, you are the one who heals me. Your word said that you are the Lord that heals me. And therefore, I am taking my freedom and I'm taking this liberty from your word, and I'm claiming my healing from you. Because you go to a doctor and you know a doctor can heal you. You go to the person and you have an expectation that you're going to be healed. So when you come to God and you want him to heal you supernaturally, you should have that expectation and you should say that, but doctor, you said you heal me. So God, you said you heal me. This is the time. I'm ready for my healing. Amen. Are you ready for your healing today? Hallelujah. It is in the word of God, when we confess it, that is when power is released. Because where we find power, we find life. We find health. And that which is dead will resurrect. And this is a personal decision. In Proverbs 18:21, we've read it many times. And last Friday when we were praying, I was telling you about the prophecies of Pastor Ben. And he quoted this verse, Proverbs 18:21. It said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So, effectively, what we are saying that if we want life, we will speak life. If we want death, we will speak death. So many people are sick because they continually confess their sickness. Instead of the word of God, instead of confessing the word of God, they confess their sicknesses. Remember, you are what you speak. Amen? If you're always speaking, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, you see that there's a pattern, because the words that we speak are supernaturally charged. And when it's a curse, that is when it crystallizes and becomes a spiritual problem. And we need healing from it. Number three, that's the ultimate point I'm going to say. Place a demand on the healer. Place a demand on the healer. I'll just give you a verse that we will not be reading, but go and read it for yourself. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 42. There was a guy called Bartimaeus. He was blind from death. He sat by the roadside. He begged for money, and he heard that Jesus Christ was coming. Verse 47, verse 48, this is what he said. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He said it again. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That means that we need mercy for our healing. But he's persistent, led Jesus Christ to come to him and say, what do you want me to do? It was obvious. He said, that I may see. Or that I may receive my sight, verse 51. And he said, go, your faith has made you whole. And he started seeing. So he saw Jesus passing by, and he would not let Jesus go. And he said, I have been sat here since my youth, since my birth. I haven't seen, and I heard you, that you are passing by. Now I'm placing the demand upon that anointing. I'm placing the demand upon that power that, to heal that is upon you. I demand it. I claim it for myself. Have mercy on me. I claim it for myself. Right now, in Jesus' name, heal me. And that determination and persistence, God is healing. If you are sick, and you know the hospitals all around, and you sit at home, and you're not making the effort to move, you will die in your sickness. Do you know that? You can pray as much as you like. But let us bring ourselves to the supernatural healing power of God. This guy, at the time, they were physicians, right? See, I'm just trying to let you know that I am not against medication. I take medicine, right? So get me, your pastor, I'm saying this. That medicine is good for you. But God heals supernaturally. And we need to approach God to be supernaturally healed. Let me give you the last point so that we can finish. This is from Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. I'm not going to read the story again. But then I will just let you to refer to it yourself. You see, sometimes we have to carry someone else by faith and compassion to the healer for the person to be healed. Thank you, Nate. Sometimes we have to do that. Guys, you can come with the musicians. You see, we have to carry someone else by faith. You see, it might well be that the person is so sick that the person can't carry himself or herself. It might be that the person even doesn't even believe or even think about the fact that there's supernatural healing, or there's a healer whose name is Jesus Christ. There's a God who is a healer, Jehovah Rapha. I mean, they don't know, but you know your God, and you know that your God heals, and therefore you have to carry that person. And what happened was that, let me read verse 17 of Luke 5 for you. It said, now it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. He went to teach. He went to preach. But the power of the Lord was present. And these people saw that one out. They saw that the power, just like that woman, Bartimaeus, just like the woman who had an issue of blood. And what happened? They saw that one out, and they want to carry someone who couldn't walk, their friend, who probably they've tried everything and hasn't worked. They want to carry him. And when they came, those who were smart people and everybody who was important was crowded in that room, and they couldn't get into that hall. So they climb up the roof and they uncover part of it, and they lower that person right in front of where Jesus Christ was. And when he saw their faith, he says, get up and walk. Hallelujah. So how did the person get the healing? Somebody recognized the power of God. Somebody brought that person right in front of Jesus Christ. And somebody had faith that Jesus Christ can heal that person. And Jesus Christ said, rise up. Your faith has made you whole. Or your sin has been forgiven. Hallelujah. So today, the power of the Lord is here to heal. May we rise up right now. Hallelujah, Lord. The power of the Lord is here to heal. You've heard me preach. I've told you stories, but more so I brought scripture to you. What is God saying to you right now? Today I'm praying. And I said, if you're here and you need healing for various kind of diseases or some ailment or some sicknesses or some kind of you need healing, are you willing to place demand upon the word of God? Are you willing to confess your healing? Are you willing to believe Jesus Christ? Maybe you want to carry somebody. So if you need that prayer, I just want you to take that step and come here. I've got a team who have prepared themselves and they want to pray for you. These men and women are going to pray over your life. Please, there's a lot of space here. Don't be afraid. Please sing for me. Thank you.